Podcast Help Desk number 65 for October 30th, 2015.
The Podcast Help Desk is where we go deep into the technology of podcasting, help you with the problems you may run into, and when we have a chance, review new gadgets, services, and solutions for podcasters. To keep your podcast running smoothly, it takes some tech. That's what Podcast Help Desk is here for. To smooth out the geek speak and put it in, more or less, plain English. The main audience for this podcast is those who have podcasts and want to tweak the tech to get better sound, a better website, a more reliable feed, or a more streamlined workflow. Also, for podcasting beginners that don't want to make all the mistakes themselves. Here's your host, Mike Dell.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the case may be. This is Mike. Of course, this is Podcast Help Desk. And the first thing I want to get to is I want to say thanks to Steve and Dave Lee from the Modern Life Podcast Network for the opportunity to have Podcast Help Desk on there. That was kind of an experiment. And we decided that Podcast Help Desk isn't really a good fit for the network as I'm promoting my own stuff. I'm promoting Blueberry. I'm doing things that aren't really network related and didn't feel as though I was really part of the network, and it really wasn't doing me any good. It wasn't doing them any good. And that being said, you know, I really enjoyed being affiliated with MLN on this show, but it just didn't feel right. It was, you know, it's kind of half there, half not there. But I enjoyed it so much that I'm restarting a long-dead show that I've not done in a while. That's going to be on MLN starting next week. Sometime next week, I should get the first episode up. I'm not sure of a schedule or anything, but it's going to be, you know, 30 minutes or so show, Geek of the North. I'm kind of changing up the format. I want to make it more produced. You know, I want to do... Okay, I'm going to say it, but I don't really mean it that way, but kind of NPR-ish, but not quite that overproduced, and it'll still be me and my personality, but it's going to be about the tech things that I like to talk about, and not cell phones and the newest, latest, greatest website and you know, computers and whatnot. I'm going to take one subject and go through it, you know, go through a subject. Like, you know, the first episode, I think, and see, that's the other thing. I'm not sure. Whichever one I get done, I've got three of them in the works for research. Whichever one I get done first, but I think the first one's going to be the tech of NASCAR tracks. You know, like the track infrastructure itself. You know, some of the stuff that NASCAR uses to score and all that. So, anyway... If right now you go to geekofthenorth.com, all one word, it'll take you over to the Modern Life Network page where Steve and I talked about what the new show is going to be like and a few other things there. So kind of the episode zero of that, although technically that was episode 50. Also, I'm not going to number the episodes. You can look at the number of the episode in the file name, but for the most part, I'm not even going to mention the... show number, you know, that's something that we did back in the day about, you know, with podcasts is, you know, you put a number on it. You know, this is episode, you know, this one's 65. Well, does that mean anything to you? It does to me only because I'm doing it. So it's kind of a marker and all that, but it really doesn't mean a lot to the listeners. Now I'm going to continue to do it on this and I'll continue to do it on Mike Dell's World, but Geek of the North, I'm not going to do that. The titles of the show is just going to be the title of the show. It's not going to have a number attached to it. So that's something else I'm trying. I'm trying to expand my podcasting prowess, I guess, by doing things differently for one versus the other. So anyway, the Podcast Help Desk has already moved away from the Modern Life Network. You'll notice from the intro, that's no longer in there, and you'll notice that the feed had changed, but hopefully you didn't notice too much because that's how we do it. You know, you can move from one feed to the other, and your listeners aren't going to know. So, and while I'm here in this segment, I guess we'll just throw the news in there too. There's actually a fair bit of news and maybe a little rumor. But first big one is Google Play is now taking submissions for podcasts to go in the Google Play Store. And their podcast listening app will be coming out probably 3-4 months. Yeah, 4 months. But, you know, Google's big, takes them a long time to do stuff sometimes. And then sometimes they do it too quick. But anyway, they're going to have a podcast app and a podcast portal over there. There's a link in the show notes at podcasthelpdesk.com/65 to submit your podcast over there. Now, that being said, I'm going to go off on a little tangent away from the news and say there are some podcast companies out there who, and you hear the dog in the background there, maybe. Anyway, there's some podcast companies out there that are implying that they have a Google Play enabled feed. Well, so do you. So does everybody. If you've got an iTunes enabled feed, you know, an iTunes compatible feed with all the iTunes tags and stuff in it, Google Play can use that. So not a problem. I submitted 3 podcasts over there on the first day, and all 3 of them are now approved. I don't know as anything's gone live over at Google Play yet, but it is coming. So that's good. Google is now embracing podcasts. But don't listen to the others out there, the other companies other than Blueberry, that you need a Google Play-enabled feed. Now, we're going to be having PowerPress updating really, really soon. You know, just a point update. I think it's going to be 6.06. I'm not sure of the number, but you should get a notification fairly soon that your PowerPress needs updating. And that is to add the Google Play tab in the settings. And that'll, you know, if you want to have separate and different Google Play attributes from your iTunes attributes, you can put them in there. That'll be coming out fairly soon, I'm sure. I'm running it already over at Podcast Help Desk. I'm the beta tester for Angelo there. So anyway, got it uploaded just prior to starting to record here, which usually means he's going to drop it probably fairly soon. I would guess over the weekend sometime. So watch for that. But it is not necessary to have anything special for Google Play, at least initially. Now, there might be something down the road, but us at Blueberry and those guys over at Lipson and hopefully some of the others will definitely have all that stuff available. So, you know, don't worry, we'll keep up. So anyway, back to the news. Not really news. This is just annoying. But SoundCloud seems to be doing something over there. And we don't really know if it's incompetence or just plain old dirty pool, but for some reason they're changing the links in people's media feeds or media files in their feeds. You might have heard me on Dave Jackson's show Monday talking about that. And all of a sudden, with no warning, this gal that I was working with, her media links all changed. And of course, it broke her feed because instead of it looking in one spot on the web for her files, they weren't there anymore. They were in another spot. But, you know, she was using a PowerPress. And they make that kind of a pain anyway if you're hosting over at SoundCloud. They don't want you to use your own feed. They want you to use their feed because SoundCloud is all about promoting SoundCloud, not you. But anyway, they broke all the links. I don't know, like I said, if it was incompetence or if they meant to do that, but it just seems that they're really trying to push everybody that's hosting with them back to using the SoundCloud feed, you know, the one they own, where they can have SoundCloud on everything instead of your brand. So yet another reason to use a podcast media host like Blueberry. Speaking of which, if you want a free 30 days, use the promo code HELPDESK over at blueberry.com. And the last bit is just a little note about New Media Expo. New Media Expo, Rick Calvert, the guy that runs that, kind of checked out for a while. I don't know, 3-4 months. Nobody heard from him, and all that. And of course, he sold a thing along with the VIP tickets where you could download all the sessions afterwards, a virtual ticket, I guess they call it. And that had been delayed and delayed and delayed. And then, like I said, Rick just disappeared. Well, Rick's back. He sent out a note to everybody profusely apologizing and explaining, you know, he had some health emergencies in the family or some other kind of emergencies in the family, and he didn't want to go into that because he's a private guy. Respect that. So, and he just kind of checked out for a while. So he's back. I don't know the future of the New Media Expo. Their website is still a little bit whacked and doesn't really go anywhere, and you can't buy booth space, and you can't buy a ticket yet. So don't know when, where, or if that'll happen again. Hopefully it will. I don't wish anything ill on NMX. I always enjoyed going there, and of course I like Rick. So hopefully whatever his emergencies were, they have cleared themselves up, and everything will get back on track for him. And I wish him well, regardless of whether NMX happens again or not. So anyway, that is the news this week that I chose to put in my show. So during the transition this week, or well, this last week of me moving my feeds back to podcasthelpdesk.com and getting all the redirects in place and, you know, and all that happy behind the scenes stuff, I had a little scare. I was doing something on the web server with FTP, and you know, I had to keep going back. It was the .ht access file, you know, for putting in redirects. I had to take out the redirect that redirected things back to Modern Life Network. So I took that out, and something didn't work, so I had to go back in and do that. And then somewhere in the process, I deleted the folder that Podcast Help Desk was in on my web server. So the whole WordPress installation went poof. Okay, now the database is on a separate server, and the database is still there and intact and all that. So it was just a matter of getting the actual bits put back where they were supposed to be. And of course, I didn't have a backup. I didn't think I had a backup, but my web host, in this case GoDaddy.com, had me covered, but I didn't know that, and I'm freaking out and trying to figure out, well, what do I do? You know, I guess I could reinstall WordPress and then bring that in, but what happens to all the picture files and all that? It just scared the heck out of me. So at my web host, I had to call him because I didn't know this, but now I do, and hopefully your web host will have something similar. I'm guessing most do that use cPanel. So check that out before you need it so that you know whether it's there. But in the file manager, if you know, when you go on, you log into your cPanel for your web host, there's a file manager. It kind of takes the place of FTP, and it's all web-based and whatnot. And in there was a button that I never saw before, but they pointed it out to me. And wow, that's cool. History mode. You click the history mode button, and it shows you everything that was there on whatever day you pick. So I just say, well, okay, well, I screwed it up today, so I'll go unscrew it up from yesterday. So all I did was I just highlighted the folder that I had deleted, which was the whole website, hit restore, and within 5 minutes, it was all back and all working like a champ. But there's, you know, there's a lesson in there for me. I never even backed up the database on this website. So, you know, I've kind of felt bad because, you know, here I am preaching all this stuff, you know, to make everything, make sure it's good and make sure that, you know, you own your own content and all that stuff, but I didn't have mine backed up. I felt bad. But like I said, I did have it backed up there, but I didn't have the database backed up. So I went ahead and set up the database backup. And then while I was at it, I thought, you know what? I haven't put any security on this site either, you know, anything additional. And, you know, I did on my other sites and all that. So I know what to do. But I think that'd just be something be good to teach you guys, or at least tell you what I did. I don't know if if what I'm doing is all that I should be doing, but it's worked so far. So on all the websites that I've done and do, except for this one. So now it's all in place on this one. But here's the plugins I use for what I call security. I don't know if it's really, I mean, it's security, but anyway. There's one that I don't fully understand. This one was told to me by Angelo over at Raw Voice is a good idea. So I said, okay, I'll do that. It's a plugin called Disable XML-RPC. That's a plugin. Just type that in there. You can cut and paste it from my show notes. And like I said, don't know the geeky reason this is important, but it does eliminate another way for your WordPress to be hacked. And, you know, WordPress hacking, you know, if you don't keep up on the updates and do some extra things, sometimes, it's, you know, can get pretty gnarly. I know a lot of people, you know, they get hacked and they just have to start over. And the bad thing about it is it even messes with your database. So, you know, I'll get to the database part later. But anyway, that's, you know, it's called Disable XML-RPC. And I got a Wikipedia article about what XML-RPC is in case you want to get sleepy, but it's because it's incredibly geeky. But like I said, this one was something that Angelo told me that I ought to do, so I'm doing it. The next one is limit login attempts, and simply that just limits the number of times you can attempt to log into your WordPress dashboard before it locks you out for a while. And it's kind of neat. It starts out with a 10-minute lockout, so if you screw up your password 3 times, it'll say, okay, come back in 10 minutes and try again. And then if you come back and you screw it up 3 or 4 more times, I don't know the exact number, it locks you out for a half hour. And then I think the third time around, it locks you up for like 4 hours. And, you know, you should be able to get your WordPress password by then. So, you know, it shouldn't cause any problems for you. But it'll definitely cause problems for brute force attacks, you know, where they just try every password in the book, and if they can attempt a login, you know, 75,000 times, they might get it. So this just completely makes that a non-issue. That's good. Something that makes it even more of a non-issue is a plugin called Rename WP-Login.php. And what that does is let you change the login page to anything you want. Now, be really careful, because if you name it to something you don't remember, it's pretty much impossible to get back. So make sure you write that down and don't typo and get it right when you set that up. But once you set it up, you go to that other page instead of WP Admin to log into your WordPress dashboard. And that just totally befuddles some of the bots out there that are checking to see if that's a WordPress site or not. And then going to with the brute force attack. So that'll help a lot there. And that's really the three things I do for security. For backup, there's another plugin called WP-DB-Backup. And this one's by Austin Matzuko, M-A-T-Z-K-O. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right or not, but that's a plugin. And you can have it email you a backup of the database every hour if you want to, but you can set that up. I have it set up to just do it once a week because, you know, I don't do enough changes on my website on a weekly or, you know, on a daily basis to have it update all the time. But if you're doing a daily show or something, you might want to do it daily. Or, you know, if you're doing a lot of blog posting or whatever, you know, if you're changing your website a lot, sure, you know, do that. But back it up, and it just emails it to a Gmail account. And, you know, so I've got, you know, 20 copies of it. So if I get hacked, this is part security, part backup. If I get hacked, I can go back and see when I got hacked, or maybe not see where I got hacked, but I upload a different database. If I'm still hacked, I upload the next older one, and so on and so forth. You know, and if I've got 40 of them sitting in my email, over at a Gmail, just get a free Gmail account. Make sure you check into it once in a while so they don't think you're abandoning it. But just have it go to there, and it just sits there. It's safe, and you can restore your backup database if you get hacked, because you'll want to completely reinstall WordPress, and you'll completely want to restore the database from a little bit older version than the hacked version. And for backing up the actual stuff in your WordPress installation, it's like files, your media files, not your podcast files if you're doing it right, but pictures and your themes and the customization of your themes and all that stuff. So what I do is I manually back up the entire folder that my WordPress install is in. In this case, it's on my web server, and it's in a folder, PhD, how original. And I just back up that folder. I just, drag it onto my desktop in FTP, and then I put it in a folder on my computer, and it goes into my Carbonite backup and also my Time Machine backup. So, it's got multiple copies of it everywhere. And that way, if I have to start from scratch, if something catastrophe happened, that's a better way of saying it, isn't it? If some catastrophe happened where I lost my database and my site, well, say GoDaddy goes out of business. Oh my gosh, that wouldn't happen, but if they did, if GoDaddy goes out of business, assuming that the domain name survived, which they would, but just say my hosting company, say I'm on a different hosting company, and they just completely, turned the servers off and went home. They're gone. They're off the internet. Well, I can install WordPress on a new site, point the domain to that new DNS, new website, new IP address, install WordPress, back up the database that I had in my Gmail account over the other thing or wherever else it shows up, and install, re-put my files in the media folders and all that, and voila, I'm back online. You'll never know I was gone, unless you showed up there right after they flipped the switch. But you know what I mean? So you really want to keep this stuff backed up. Now, if you're hosting with Blueberry, of course you should be, or you're hosting with Libsyn, or you're hosting with whoever, they got all your podcast files. That's, that's backed up at their end and all that. But it's still a good practice to keep those also. Keep all your media files locally somewhere. Same backup plan you use for everything else. Like I said, I got a folder on my computer that's got all my episodes in it and all the various files. And maybe I'll do a segment on that sometime, how I organize my files. But then that gets backed up to Carbonite and gets backed up on my Time Machine. And, all's good. Now, the offsite backup is covered from Carbonite. The onsite backup's covered with the Time Machine drive. And all is well. So I can get all that back. Whoever goes out of business, I can get it all back. And that's the goal. So just be aware. And like I said, if you have any questions, feel free. podcasthelpdesk@gmail.com or use the SpeakPipe thing on the website. I think it's still there. I'll make sure it's there. And all that good stuff. And it's time for the Blueberry tip of the week. It's probably one I've talked about before, but I ran into that a lot this week, so let's get this fixed back up. Get your RSS feeds into the Blueberry directory, especially if you host with Blueberry, but even if you don't and you're using some of the other Blueberry services, you're using PowerPress, make sure you're in the directory. Just start a free account over at Blueberry. Go in there, set up your show listing, and put the RSS feed in the place where you put your RSS feed. It's also good if you put your iTunes address in there so that when you call me for assistance at Blueberry, I can look you up and tell, okay, here's your feed. I can look at your feed and all that, and I don't have to send you 8 emails back and forth saying, what is your RSS feed? What's the RSS feed that you gave to iTunes and all that? Sometimes it takes 4 or 5 back and forth before anybody knows exactly what I'm talking about when I ask them for their RSS feed. I know that sounds crazy, but, podcasting is getting easier in some ways, so people don't actually know what their RSS feed is. And you really should know. So if you don't know what your RSS feed, figure it out. Give me an email. Let me figure it out for you, but something, you know, figure out what your RSS feed is and get it into Blueberry. Because, you know, that's just the quickest way for me to find the problem, if you have a problem. And also, it gives you the added benefit of being in the Blueberry directory. Now, Blueberry directory is, you know, it's another directory out there. You know, think of it as, you know, kind of like iTunes, kind of like Stitcher, kind of like this new Google Play thing. You know, it's just another place to be. So it's not a bad idea just to be there. But on top of that, you get the added bonus of less email from me when you have a problem. Or I should say from me, Sean, Todd, Angelo, you know, the rest of the support team. But like I said, I ran into that a lot this week, so I really want to iterate that, you know, when you've got a listing on blueberry.com, you're using PowerPress, you maybe using the hosting, maybe using the stats over there, and you have an issue, it's a whole lot easier if I know what your feed is before I email you the first time than it is for me to have to ask you that, because it's just a good thing to do. If you're just using Blueberry without having your own WordPress site, tell me that too in your contact, because, you know, sometimes it's not obvious that, you know, how you're set up. And if I know how you're set up, I can help you quicker. And, you know, the rest of the support team over there can help you quicker. So that's your Blueberry tip of the week.
Blueberry.com is the digital media interface for everyone. Consumers, find great content and create a single RSS feed for all your favorite shows. Creators, post your show and get comprehensive stats and easy-to-read reports. Advertisers, access new markets via hundreds of available content channels that reach across all demographics. The Blueberry Network, online at blueberrynoease.com.
So, if you heard of anybody telling you that you need to launch with 5 episodes, 10 episodes, 15 episodes, whatever the number in the feed, you know, that way you could get into new and noteworthy. Oops, sorry, Dave. He just threw up a little bit in his mouth. But yeah, so a lot of these so-called podcast gurus out there are telling you need to launch with all these episodes. And that just proves that they don't know what they're talking about. It's just not true. In fact, I would call it a lie. And maybe it's an uninformed lie, maybe it's an unintentional lie, but it is a lie. Truth is, you don't have to launch with more than one. In fact, you should only launch with one episode. Now, you might have 10 or 15 in the can, whatever, I don't know your workflow. But, you know, say you launch with 8 episodes, and your new subscribers, they subscribe to your podcast because, you know, all of a sudden, here's this new show, but it's got 8 episodes. They subscribe, they get the 8th episode. They don't get 1 through 7. They just get the last one in the feed, the last one uploaded, or the, you know. Now, of course, if they upload them all at the same time, who knows which one you're going to get. But really, you should not launch with more than one. I mean, you know, launch, just launch. You know, you don't have to publicize it until you get a few, if that's what you want to do. But, you know, launch with one. Because, you know, they'll say that, well, you know, if you launch with 8 episodes, somebody subscribes, that's 8 downloads. No, it's not. It's 1 download. Episode 8 will get downloaded. You know, 90% of the people are not going to go back and download 1 through 7. Some might, but not very many. It just irks me that this rumor is still going around. I think Rob and I might have talked about that in the interview last week. I recorded about an hour and a half of that interview and only used about 43 minutes of it. So we talked about a lot of things, and I'm not sure what made the cut or not. So sorry if I'm going over the same thing we went over last week. But man, I'll tell you, it's out there. There's, you know, these high-priced podcasting courses and groups and masterminds and all that stuff out there. And they're using this. And then, you know, they're talking about new and noteworthy. And we've beat that dead horse, but I'm going to beat it again. New and noteworthy is not going to make or break your podcast. This podcast has been a new and noteworthy probably a couple of times. I don't know. I don't pay attention to it. I know it's been there once. I don't know even what level it was at. But, it, you know, it's been there. And you don't have to be new to be there. You know, they say it's 8 weeks. Now, if you get in there, it's going to, your show's probably going to stay there for 8 weeks. And generally, when to be considered new, it has to be within the first 8 weeks of your RSS feed going live on iTunes. But that's neither here nor there, because you can still be noteworthy. Nobody really knows the algorithm that Apple uses. I mean, I know the front page of that is curated. So it's somebody at Apple that's choosing those shows. So there's no trickery that you can do that's going to get you there or not, you know, or cause you not to get there. I mean, there's things that can definitely cause you not to get there, but I'm just saying, don't use that as a goal. You know, being a new and noteworthy is a really cool thing to happen, you know, and it's definitely, you know, brag-worthy, but it's not the goal. The goal is to have a sustainable audience. And if you want growth, grow your audience. You know, not everybody wants to grow their audience. Well, I'd say, you know, I'd be really happy if I got 50,000 downloads on every one of these episodes. Really, really happy. But that's not my goal either. My goal is to get the information out there to people on, you know, the best practices that I know of. And this is my spin, you know, Dave Jackson, you know, all the rest of the gurus, Daniel J. Lewis, everybody else has their own spin on it. And, you know, who's to say that I'm right and they're wrong? You know, most of the time, you know, the main ones all agree on certain things. You know, there's a few that agree on or don't agree on things, but who's to say that they're completely wrong? I can give you an example. I can give you examples of why it's wrong to launch with 8 episodes, but, you know, maybe they're right on some level. I don't know. But I do know that how it works. And, you know, most people that come to a podcast and hit subscribe, they download whatever episode's the last one, and they go on from there if they like the show. So, you know, having 8 of them in there, there's 7 of them that most people aren't going to see. You know, and just because it's listed in iTunes doesn't mean people are going to go clicking and, oh, I want to listen to this episode, you know, unless you have, you know, some guest on there and you got it known that they're on there and they're famous for some reason. But like I said, the goal of being a new and noteworthy and, you know, launching with more than one episode just don't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Technically, it doesn't make sense. And, you know, you're, you know, unless you are making dynamite content, which I hope you are, you know, there's just not a reason to do that with most. And as Rob and I talked about, you know, the first 10 episodes of somebody's podcast is not as good as the 50th episode, or in my case, the 65th episode. Of course, I've done several thousand episodes of other podcasts, so, you know, who knows? Maybe I'm just not going to get better, but I'm just saying, you know, you don't want to promote and promote and promote your first 10 episodes because people will come there and say, hey, this is kind of lousy. I mean, not saying your first 10 episodes have to be lousy, but chances are they're not going to be as good as the later ones. So good strategy is to launch with your first episode and just plug along, make decent content, you know, promote it, you know, ethically, you know, where you're at, and, you know, let it grow. You know, you don't get successful overnight. Most podcasts that get really successful really fast are either just that good, which happens, you know, like Serial. It was very compelling and had, you know, great promotion and, you know, from This American Life and all that, you know, Startup, same thing. It was, you know, come away from NPR type stuff and that went real quick and they're going to be successful and that's great. But there's a lot of them, you know, especially these entrepreneurial ones where they go great guns at first. And then you don't hear from them again, you know, and then not too long after, and this happens a lot, the entrepreneurs will put a post up saying, podcasting doesn't work, it's lousy, blah, 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 I'm not doing it anymore. Well, because if you, because you're expecting this great success. You look at somebody like Pat Flynn. Pat Flynn had one heck of an audience before he did his first podcast, because he was a blogger and he had this audience already there. So he wasn't an overnight success. It took him a really long time to gain that audience. over at his blog before he even launched his podcast. So his podcast is just an extension of the fame that he had on his website, on his blog. And, you know, you're not going to get that kind of success if you don't already have the audience. So you've got to build it. And the way to build it is make decent content, be consistent about it, and all that. Just, you know, don't try for this, you know, quick shot. Because even if you get in the number one on new and noteworthy, you're going to get a quick shot of downloads, and then it's going to slowly decrease, and it's going to be very disappointing. So anyway, and no, you do not need to launch with 5, 10, 15 episodes, whatever the number. You just launch with one and go with it. Because the subscribers you pick up along the way that way will definitely stick with you longer than the subscribers you pick up because of a lot of hype and new and noteworthy and all that. You know, I'll look at new and noteworthy. I have never sustained, you know, I've never subscribed to a podcast from new and noteworthy that I have continued to stay subscribed to. It's never happened. And I've been a podcast listener longer than iTunes has existed, and longer than not longer than iTunes has existed, but longer than iTunes podcast directory has existed. So I was finding them before, you know, as I've said 100 times, Google, you know, or search. It could be Google, could be Bing, could be whatever, but website search is the number one way I find podcasts, and I think it's the number one way most podcast listeners find podcasts. So don't fall for the gimmicks. So I think that's going to do it for this week. Just wanted to tell you about a little bit what I'm going to be doing on my other shows. Like I said, Geek of the North is launching next week with its first official episode in the new format over at modernlifenetwork.com/GOTN. Or you can just go to geekofthenorth.com and it redirects over there. So I'm looking forward to that. And also on Mike Dell's World, it's over at mikedell.com. That's my little personal, just whatever I feel like doing. I turn on the mic if I need to talk, I need to rant, I need to play some music. You know, I just do all kinds of weird stuff over there. It's kind of my experimental website. That's the first show I ever started. Started out as Benzoid Report because I lived in Benzie County, and I transitioned it to Mike Dell's World when I moved to a different county, and it didn't make any sense for it to be Benzoid Report. Besides that, I guess a benzoid is a type of drug, so I didn't know that at the time. Didn't want to confuse anybody. But anyway, Mike Dell's World next month, or this month, or whatever, whenever you listen to this, November of 2015, I'm going to try the daily podcast for the month. You ever heard of that novel writers thing in November, National Novel Writers Month? I guess it's called I don't even know. But anyway, there's a podcast version of that where you put out, it isn't daily. What they want you to do is put out 30 episodes in 30 days. So that takes the pressure off of doing it daily, although I think I am going to do it daily. And I don't have to have it all in the same feed. So like when I put out an episode of Podcast Help Desk, that's going to count for that podcast for the day. Same thing with Geek of the North. So over at Mike Dell's World, you're going to get five episodes a week. And then there'll be an episode of this and an episode of Geek of the North. And they may be 2 minutes, they may be 10 minutes, they may be 20 minutes, who knows? Go check it out, mikedell.com. And if you want to support the show, of course, right sidebar of podcasthelpdesk.com has all kinds of places you can support the show. The best way is to sign up for Blueberry Hosting. That'll help you out a lot, and it helps me. There's also a couple of web hosts over there, Bluehost and Dreamhost. If you want to get your WordPress site, those are two very good places to do it. I also recommend GoDaddy, no affiliate link there, but I do recommend GoDaddy because they saved my bacon this week, so that's also a good choice, regardless of what you think about them. So anyway, that's all another podcast. Maybe over on Mike Dell's World, we'll talk about GoDaddy and why people don't like them. Let's see. There's also an Amazon link. So if you're going to do your Christmas shopping over at Amazon, click there first and then go do your shopping. Doesn't cost you anymore and gives me the little added kickback there that gives me a gift card at Amazon. That's how I get paid. And that way I can buy my Christmas gifts. And, of course, go check out the Modern Life Podcast Network, the Tech Podcast Network, Blueberry.com. Where else am I? What is that? Two Thumbs Up Media. Yeah, go check that out, too. That's a curated podcast directory done also by Steve Lee over at Modern Life. And it's a very good little directory there. There's a lot of decent shows over there. And like I said, it's a curated list. It's not the be-all, end-all list like, you know, iTunes or Blueberry's going to be and all that. So go check that out. So with that, everybody have a good week. Get your questions in. I need to start answering questions on here again. That's podcasthelpdesk@gmail.com. You can Twitter Podcast Help Desk. You can get on Facebook. Look for me, Mike Dell, on Facebook. You know, just any way you can get a hold of me. You'll send me, I really like it when you send me an MP3 file. And Abner in Boston, I'm talking to you. Haven't heard from you in a while. Let me know how your podcast is going. So, anyway, everybody have a great week. We will catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Podcast Help Desk. If you would like Mike to answer your question on the show, email podcasthelpdesk@gmail.com, or better yet, record a voice message at podcasthelpdesk.com. See you next time.